You're listening to Michigan Politics, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Matt Bach.
All right. Welcome to another edition of the podcast. This is Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League, and you are now listening to Michigan Politics, huh? That's the name of my podcast. I'm very honored to be joined this morning by Representative Jim Lilly, State Representative. I think it's the 89th House District.
It is the 89th District,
Matt. Well, thank you for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great. So we're here at our Michigan Municipal League's 2019 Capitol Conference, and Representative Lilly was one of our honorees last night at our awards gala. You got one of our Legislator of the Year honors. Tell us a little bit about that for your work with the league and also kind of what that award meant to you.
Yeah, so I appreciate it and appreciate the sort of response from the league on some of these issues that we worked on in 2018. You know, there were a couple of things that were mentioned in the introduction with respect to why that award was given to me, and I appreciate both of them. So I think the primary item that this is related to is related to my fireworks legislation.
Yeah, so tell us about that.
Right.
So everybody loves fireworks.
Everybody loves fireworks, except not everybody loves fireworks.
Exactly.
So I sort of approached this from a pretty grassroots effort up, and it didn't really start with the league. It didn't really start with my municipalities. It started when I was out knocking doors in my original campaign.
Yeah. And just what talking were you hearing people. From people?
Yeah. What are your issues? What do you want to talk about? And fireworks was something that came up on a regular basis.
For some background, the issue was that, you know, when Governor Snyder started, they started a new fireworks law where allowed fireworks to explode in the air where we didn't have that before. And a lot of people liked that, but at the same time, it caused a lot of noise complaints and concerns from people.
It did. And so a lot of people, as we're going through the 4th of July holidays, you know, these fireworks are going off and essentially they're looking for someone to blame. And it just so happened that they could now blame the government because the government had passed a law. The reality from my perspective was, you know, and I live in sort of a lake community. And, and so, you know, fireworks have been a thing in our community for a long time, even before they were illegal.
Yeah.
And even before they were legal in Michigan, because people would just drive down to the Indiana border. It's only about 80 minutes away, pretty easy to get down there. So anyway, that fireworks law was put in place, hadn't been touched in essentially 7 years. And everybody sort of around the table, all the stakeholders, everybody had a little bit of a piece of something that they were looking to get changed in the law. Municipalities, folks in the industry, folks in the departments, in the fire marshal's office, things like that. There was an opportunity for everybody to get a win, but basically everybody had approached revising the legislation in the past in the extreme. So, you know, if you love fireworks, you were looking to basically get rid of all of the restrictions completely.
Right.
If you hated fireworks, you were basically looking to get rid of the law. You know, if you were the industry, you were looking to essentially crowd out everyone
sure.
else.
Try to find that balance.
You try to find the medium that sort of brings everybody to the table, gives everybody a win, and sort of leaves everybody with a little bit of a, oh man, I wish I would have gotten a little bit more.
Right.
Or I can't believe I agreed to that.
Yeah.
And it's sort of when everybody comes to the table and everybody leaves with something, but also a little bit unhappy.
Yeah.
That's how these, I think, situations have to work.
Right.
And I give the league a lot of credit because they were certainly in that position in working with, you know, Jennifer in your advocacy department over at the league. She was very good about sort of laying out the framework for me of, Jim, these are the things that we can live with. These are the things we're going to have some heartburn with. And these are the things that are probably non-starters for us. And if you can kind of work in that framework, we'll try to work it together. And I think of all the folks involved, you know, I had a couple folks on the industry side of things, but Jen really did a great job of digging into the issues, understanding what was important to me and my constituents, and then helping me navigate those waters. Because at the end of the day, you know, in a term limited environment, I don't have a lot of experience for being able to do that. It's the folks on sort of your team at MML that can, you know, once a legislator has a vision and is willing to work with folks, it can be a really good partnership.
Well, good. Well, we appreciate it. So what was kind of the end product? I think it was with the fireworks law for people maybe listening around this around July 4th. Obviously, they could still let off fireworks, but I think the number of days are limited and you did some things.
Yeah, so I'll talk through a few things. And there are a lot of components to this law. I couldn't even, you know, I don't have a framework in front of me right now, so I'll just give you the broad strokes. But basically, we took the number of days down from 30 to about 12.
Okay.
We structured those days more around 4th of July when the reality is people are already lighting off fireworks. And then we also took the times and basically gave municipalities more flexibility in regulating the times as well.
Okay.
So for many smaller communities like my communities, the sort of limitation on state preemption was basically 1 a.m. People could light fireworks off until 1 a.m. on these holidays. And for me, I just think that that's a little bit of a bridge too far.
Right.
And so we worked to dial that back. I had originally proposed 11:30, and in a sort of a last-minute negotiation, I had to give in. I was being pushed to give in to midnight, and ultimately, in the spirit of compromise, I ended up at 11:45.
Oh,
I
really?
You know, I'm a pretty big believer that the enemy of the good is the perfect.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a chance that we can revisit this down the line.
Sure.
You know, but I do think this is going to make a little bit of a difference, and particularly on the enforcement side of things, allowing local municipalities to charge higher fines.
Yes.
And then ensuring that those fines that are charged, that a portion of those dollars actually are going to the enforcing agencies.
Yeah.
So the feedback I got from a lot of public safety officials in the course of this process was, look, we don't have the resources to enforce these ordinances.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah.
But this sort of puts it in a position where I think there is an opportunity to do some targeted enforcement. And at least in my communities, what we found in talking to my law enforcement officers is, year over year, if they do targeted enforcement in a neighborhood on fireworks,
right,
they find that the next year that basically discourteous use in that neighborhood goes down.
Okay.
And so that's, I think, what we need to sort of replicate across the state.
Sure.
And ultimately, I think there's an opportunity for some communities to get some wins here.
Okay, well, good. Well, I know you helped us on a bunch of different issues, but I know you're short on time, so we won't get into those this morning. But I once again, I do appreciate your time, and congratulations on the award with the Michigan Municipal League being one of our two Legislator of the Year.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate all the work you guys
do. Thanks. Hello, welcome to another edition of Michigan Politics, huh? You like that, huh? That's my little voice. I'm actually a stand-up comedian sometimes.
But you're sitting down.
I am sitting down. Look at that. Dum-dum-dum. I did give you a drum beat. I'm welcome to the podcast. I am Matt Buck, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League. And today I'm very honored to be joined by Senator Stamos. Right? And it's, I appreciate you being here. You know what? I drew a blank on your first name all of a sudden. I should know this.
Senator.
It's just Senator.
That's what your mom
named me. I knew that. Jim Stamos. And you're from Midland area. Is that correct?
Yep.
I've seen you around a lot. I've been with the league for about 9 years. And I will say this. I've always been somewhat intimidated by you.
Because I'm round?
I don't know. No, it's not that. I think it's because you're tall and you have a military background. Maybe it's the way you carry yourself. But every time I've talked with you or seen you, and when I see you smile, it makes me happy because you usually just have
Well, don't tell anybody I'm smiling.
You have that serious look on your face a lot. So I don't know why that is, but I thought I would just get that out there. But I am very honored and glad to have you join us.
I appreciate the opportunity.
So you are being honored with one of our two Legislator of the Year awards by the Michigan Municipal League. We're here at our 2019 Capitol Conference, and later tonight you'll be getting that award. What's your thoughts on getting that award from us?
As someone that started in local government and having the opportunity to see how local government really affects our families and how it really moves our communities forward, it's a huge honor, and I'm excited for the opportunity to and honored to receive the award. Growing up in downtown Midland and being right across, basically kitty corner to the old City Hall now.
Oh, okay.
It's sort of back behind us a little bit, but the local government is always one of those that has played a substantial role in our communities, and so trying to make sure that we provide here in Lansing the opportunity to continue to let them do what they do best, and that is listen to their residents.
Sure.
That's a huge honor.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your upbringing. You mentioned you grew up in Midland. I know there's a long family business. I think it's called Pizza Sam's. So you probably worked there, grew up in there, and right downtown?
Absolutely. I was a downtown brat / a country brat because we lived out in the country.
Right.
So I sort of had the best of both worlds.
Okay.
And,
so the business was downtown. Town and the family house is out in the country.
Correct. Okay. And so, business, still in business today. We've been in business 59 years.
Oh, wow.
And again, it's just a huge part of who I've grown up to be. But, watching the health inspectors come through, but then watching the city workers come through and keeping the roads and or the fire departments checking out and make sure everything's safe and or so many different parts, even including the Downtown Development Authority, There's so much that goes into our communities that so many people don't realize.
Right.
And you know, the city governments, MML, play a huge role in that.
Yeah.
And so it's one that growing up, I've sort of seen so many different aspects of it.
Right,
Having a business downtown, but it's exciting to have the opportunity to be here today.
Right. And I got to think that you've probably seen a lot of changes, particularly in Midland downtown and Midland proper. Tell me about some of the kind of the growth and some of the evolution that you've seen.
Yeah. Well, and this, now you're just trying to be mean, because now you're trying to get me to show you how old I really
am.
Back
in 1962.
Well, not quite 62, but, you know, actually thinking back, I still in my head till, you know, today, can look at downtown Main Street where we had our first business from 1960 to 1990, and we just moved three blocks down the road from 1990 to the present time. But
okay.
All of the big old trees with these wood benches that were painted blue, and you had the meters, and each business slowly kept going away. In downtown was one of those that was almost, you know, it was almost gone.
Yeah.
You know, we watched the pennies move away. We watched the health department, the city built their new place just around the block. But so many businesses left. And, you know, and looking back in the late 80s and 90s and the transition, and one of those huge parts of that transition was the city putting in a farmer's market, which was just down the hill from us. So people were going by our business.
Yeah.
But the farmer's market and a rail trail.
Oh.
And it was the trailhead for the community. And it really, frankly, it saved us. The continued progression of the downtown and working with downtown development, along with the city, were very proactive in continuing to find ways to bring back downtown. And so you come downtown Midland today, it's so much different. I mean, the sidewalks are almost twice as wide.
Mm-hmm.
The parking and trash is still a big issue in any city you talk to. Right. But
not enough parking.
But not enough parking. But other than that, we have fireplaces on Main Street. We have these...
you have a nice hotel downtown.
We have a wonderful hotel and a great couple of other restaurants. I mean, it has become a destination within the community, but it's a continuous improvement process. It just doesn't stop.
Right.
And when you do stop, that's when you have the problems.
Right. And you may alluded to that actually required some investment and some kind of planning on the city's part. Was that when the Tridge was put into in the 80s, when that kind of stuff?
Yes.
And that's like a three-way bridge. It's kind of cool. It's like a symbol of Midland now.
Exactly. Yeah. The Tridge is falls where two rivers come together, the Tittabawassee and the Pine River. And as they come together, there's actually three different parts of land with the one in the center. And the Tridge actually has a link to all three sections of it, which is really cool.
Yeah, I went there for the farmer's market one day. I did a case study on farmer's markets, and I was there, and it was cool. I mean, it's amazing to see bicyclists and all the people there. It's a lot of energy, and it's a lot of exciting.
Right, and the rail trail head starts right there, but now it goes both directions.
Oh,
before, it just sort of headed north, but now it goes both directions, and so it's amazing to see how continuous improvement, how do you continue to make and keep the community involved and participating, but developing and meeting the needs of the community as well.
Right. And it's interesting. This all the stuff that we're talking about is what the league calls placemaking.
Correct.
And it's about basically establishing, you know, strong, vibrant places. And it's not just kind of fun, cool things to see a bicyclist downtown. It's really an economic driver. Like you talked about, it really revived the city.
It saved our business.
Yeah.
I can tell you that trail and the number of families that came in and bought pizza or ice cream.
Oh, really? You have ice cream too at your shop?
We do.
Okay.
We have ice cream. We have Coney dogs. We have salads.
Oh,
we have something for all. quick commercial there.
Yeah, right? There you go.
The placemaking is definitely one. Now we have multiple nice restaurants on top of a wonderful sidewalk and area to do a lot of different public programs, and working with the Downtown Development Authority, the city, and so many others, and the Downtown Business Association, all work cooperatively, but they all sort of represent different aspects that continue to bring that improvement to that particular part of the city.
Right.
But the city is so much bigger as well.
Sure,
and so they
sure.
have multiple sections that they're trying to do the placemaking as well.
And it's also in the area of economic driving. It's also, I mean, you of course we have Dow Chemical there, and
it's just that small little place.
It's just that little small little thing. And you know, obviously, you know, they're trying to recruit talent to their company, and I think it's important. I one time I did a tour there. I think you guys have more parks per capita than in any other
parks
city.
Parks and churches, I think. Yes.
And, so that stuff's important as far as recruiting talent and jobs and creating business and all that kind of stuff.
It is. You know, one of the interesting things that I've seen across the state with having 10 counties, 110 townships, 15 cities, and 7 villages.
Wow.
As a state senator is...
That's
is,
all in your district. That's all
that's just
district.
In my
You have a huge district.
And
yeah.
So, you know, but the exciting part is getting to see, you mentioned Dow Chemical, but across the state, so many take an active role in providing and helping communities have a higher life standard that maybe necessarily just the city by itself would have on its own. And having Dow, I give a huge shout out to them. They continuously are making additional investments on top of all of the other factors going in. But so many others, I mean, you look at, and the interesting part is so many of them go without ever asking for recognition.
Mm.
But they work closely with the MML, the cities, and others trying to make sure of a continuous improvement process because of the quality of life that does attract talent from across the country, if not in Midland, in so many of my other parts of the district, the world.
Right, right. Well, that's great. It's good to hear that. And like I said, it is something that you hear so much companies from Ford to the Dow, you know, they're actually investing in downtowns because they know that that's what the young talent or workforce that they're trying to get. Those are the kind of things they want, biking and parks and those kind of things. So I know you worked with the Michigan Municipal League in the last couple of years. One of the reasons we're honoring you tonight on different issues. So one was the, I believe it was assessing issue. Can you tell us just kind of real quickly what that issue was? I understand you kind of came out with a thing and Township Association were also opposed to it, but you worked with us. You had a series of community meetings. Tell us a little bit about that process and what ended up being the end product of all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think, again, I thought you wanted to keep it light, so
we're going to dive into assessing.
Yes, opposed might be the understatement of the year or the quote of the day in MERS, but what was interesting is that I really felt, along with Representative Lowers, there was a process that needed to be fixed within the state process.
Okay,
and as we looked at it, and the treasurer had come to us. Did we realize we were going to get and spark the emotion and or the passion?
Yeah.
Honestly, no. I had no clue. But MML and all of our locals came together and said, "What the heck?" Right?
Yeah.
And but they were also the first to say, "Let's go talk. Let's listen." And that was an exciting opportunity to get out and go to the north, go to the east, go to the west, and hear from our assessors, from our local communities, our equalization departments, our assessing departments, so many of the concerns and so many of the challenges with the way the original legislation was proposed.
Yeah.
What was even more exciting was that instead of everybody just saying, heck no,
right.
I don't know
digging
if
the heels
can,
in the sand.
Know,
and
We listened and continued to have a conversation. And quite honestly, at the end, we had support and strong support for the legislation. It was completely is the wrong word, but substantially different in how we did it. But I think it came out exactly how legislation really should work.
Yeah.
And that is working with everybody, listening, and then finding a way to resolve concerns. And I think that, honestly, the state's in a better place. It's only one small part of the entire issue, by all means. We still have, and I would be in trouble if I don't say we need to continue to talk about the education and how we're doing that. We need to look at the standards that the state's doing to make sure that we're being consistent with those as well.
Yeah.
But this is one small part, small part of making sure we do have standards and they're in writing and they're in statute instead of the next person coming in and saying, well, I think it ought to be this way. And so I give a huge thank you and want to say thank you to those in MML that took time to come out and all of our locals, assessors, equalization and assessing departments that took time to send letters, send emails saying, what the heck?
Yeah.
But in the end, finding, I think, a very positive solution, I think that it was also demonstrated, it demonstrated the true passion
yeah.
that our communities have for the jobs that they're doing. And I that was very cool.
Right. Now, why? Because I think people, a Joe Citizen, would like to think that's how government works or how government should work. Why does that not happen more often, where you maybe have something and you're open mind enough to say, hey, well, let's hear the other opinions and let's have some meetings. And let's, is there just not time to do that on every issue? Or what's it, why doesn't that work more often like that?
Well, actually, I really think that the process does. I think that there's so much confusion because it is a convoluted way of getting about things, right? Yeah. This one was a little bit more straight with Representative Lowers and I coming together with the associations, MML and others, to work on this in a, almost a direct fashion.
Okay.
But many times it does take it, but sometimes it comes out from one chamber one way, knowing it's going to be changed, and people have, not understanding the process, have their doubts about that.
Okay.
And sometimes it does take years. This was over about an eight-month period, and so it was an intense period,
yeah.
and it doesn't always nearly happen so quickly.
Yeah.
But what it does demonstrate to me is what MML brings to its people that it represents, our communities, but also the others that were a strong participant. They have a strong voice in Lansing, but their voice is even more loud when the members that do support MML speak up as well.
So I guess that's important. We often talk about to our members to say, you know, it's important for they can hear from us, our, you know, the Michigan Municipal League staff all day. You guys can hear from us and probably
we do
hear,
sometimes.
You hear from a lot of lobby, a lot of advocacy organizations all the time.
Correct.
But it's when you know, mayor, like I had former mayor of Walker, Representative Verhulen in here, when a mayor from Walker calls you or a mayor from Alpena in your district or mayor from Midland, that probably has a little more weight than just hearing from a lot. Lobbyists, probably.
Absolutely. Okay. And I've got to tell you, I have fantastic mayors. But even more so, for example, with this assessor, it was our local assessors in the city that took time and sat down with
me. The ones actually doing the work.
And they were actually doing the work saying, wait a minute, you know. you know, as much as I enjoy my mayors, they are, and I certainly always want to take time for them.
Yeah.
But it was the workers that had such passion for what they do.
Yeah.
But it is honestly, and I don't know that most people will realize this, the fundamental of how taxation on property tax is based and, the passion that these people displayed in what they, the pride that they take in their service, it was amazing, and it was actually really cool.
Cool. Well, good. Well, I did want to, you start off the conversation where I was talking about how I was intimidated by you, and I definitely feel much more comfortable now. I don't feel like as nervous. You have to work on that. But you mentioned you being round, and I will have to say you look amazing. You obviously lost a lot of weight in the past.
I did.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Bariatric surgery about 3 years ago.
Okay. Well, we're both Fitbit users. We talked about, we compared steps and stairs.
Compared steps, yes.
So,
absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that journey.
You know, I have been public about it, and it was I was almost 350 pounds, and it was time for a life change. And it was something, when I went to my doctor, really expecting him to say, oh, no, you just need to do a diet. And he sort of said, actually, this is the right thing for you.
Oh, really?
And I was sort of expecting him not to say that. So,
right.
You know, but it has been a life change for me. But I'll tell you, it's been a long journey, and it's not an easy journey, and it's not for everybody. And so it's one that I think you have to be ready for. You have to understand that there are risks with the surgery.
Yeah.
But there's amazing teams out there that are making a big difference for a lot of individuals. But there are other ways to do it as well. And so it's been a blessing for me. And my wife, I'll tell you, it was amazingly supportive and continues to this day to be right at the forefront of finding ways to keep me motivated, keep me going. But I feel so much better. I've lost about 100 pounds And it's just, I'm getting my steps. I did 17 flights of steps so far. You got me by 11 flights of steps already today we talked about, but, I do try to get in, at least, 10, you know, I've been on the kick of trying to get those 10,000 steps in.
So, but, and I'm assuming they're watching what you eat and all that kind of stuff you got to do. Yep, so tonight at the gala, I think there's a fish option or maybe a veggie option.
I'm going veggie.
Okay. You're going veggie.
But I do enjoy fish and or the red meats. I just try to moderate my diet.
Okay. Is that tough with, are you still actively involved in the restaurant or does the other family do that?
So my youngest brother, Nick, and I own the restaurant, but my sister, her husband, and my cousin actually are actively running the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So we make the big decisions and try to stay out of their way from the day-to-day operations. Okay. And so.
Now I interviewed our last year, so one of our legislator year was Representative Ken Horn, and his family also is a longtime restaurant owning family. Do you ever compare restaurant notes with him?
We do. We do. And you know, we didn't have a bar, but we have certainly restaurants. We certainly have our restaurant stories versus his bar stories, but I think we hold our water with
him. And your districts probably connect to each other pretty close.
Okay. Yeah. He has Saginaw County, and then Midland does have a large part that does about Saginaw County. Okay. In fact, I actually had back when I was a representative, 13 of the townships in Saginaw County at that point.
Okay. So I want to just one last question here. What's kind of next you see? You know, they got kind of an exciting year. We got, a new governor, not your political party, but there's a lot of energy and things anytime you get a big turnover in the House and Senate as well. What do you kind of see happening in the next couple of years, here in Michigan, legislatively and also, you know, for our communities?
You know, next couple of years is a long time in Lansing.
Okay.
It goes by quick, but a couple of years is a long time. What I'm really excited about is the opportunity we have had over the last 8 years to go from 15% unemployment to some places, under 4% unemployment, especially in some of our larger cities. And so, but the primary focus right now is being the appropriations chair is the budget. But there's a lot of discussion also on what we do with auto insurance and how do we work on that and infrastructure as well, whether it's the roads or other primary parts. Those are all large discussions continuing. They've been around for a while.
Yeah.
But I really feel with having 110 members and almost 100 of them, just under 100 of them, have less than 2 years experience in the House of Representatives. And this year with the turnover you're talking about, 30 of the 38 senators are brand new to the Senate. Mm-hmm. And 7 of them, of the 30, have never had a day in government. So there's a lot of interesting new visions and new priorities to sort of talk about a 2-year period.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick the three big discussions today, I would tell you it's, for me, it's the budget.
Yeah.
Budget. But it's also the infrastructure and it's what are we going to do about auto insurance?
Okay. And that's obviously one of our members, Mayor Duggan in Detroit. It's a kind of a big issue for him too. Do you see yourself kind of working with some of the communities as trying to
We have to work with our communities and understand how it can affect them. And certainly Mayor Duggan has been working on this and very passionately. And I've had a few conversations with him. And to look at where we were in 2009 when I first started in Lansing to where we are today in Detroit, it's amazing and exciting to see such a transition and revival of it.
Detroit, your city itself. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, it is certainly one of those key issues, I think, across state, whether you're in downtown Detroit or you're up in Mayo, Michigan, you're going to see that is, if you're knocking on doors, they're going to ask you, what's going on with auto insurance?
Right, cool. You mentioned Mayo, Michigan. There's like a cool like stone church in Mayo, Michigan, isn't there? It looks like it's like made out of the hill. You ever see it? I took a picture of it one time, and it's got a lot of views.
I'm not seeing that. I have to seek that out.
I think it's like a sanctuary or some kind of prayer place, but it's really cool. You should check it out.
Well, anyways, I will definitely check that out.
Well, Senator Jim Stamas, I remember this time. I appreciate you joining us on Michigan Politics Hunt. Thank you, and again, congratulations on your award.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, and I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.